have an army. We have a Hulk.
Welcome to We Have a Hulk podcast, Marvel Mini episode 4. I am Nicola.
And I'm Chris.
And what are we going to be talking about in this episode then, Chris?
Got some news.
Yeah. We're
going to be talking about
some very exciting trailer news.
Trailer news.
Infinity War. Yeah.
Runaways, episodes 1 to 4 review.
Yep.
We got James Masters interview.
What? How exciting.
And we're going to announce the winner of our DC competition.
Yeah. Even though it's Marvel, but and we're going to launch a Marvel competition, so that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. So let's kick it off with the news. So Avengers Infinity War trailer finally dropped today and I'm so excited. I've accidentally seen it 3 times and Crystal hasn't seen it yet. So we're going to play it now for Chris and then let you know his reactions. So Chris, what do you think?
Looks good, doesn't it?
It looks amazing.
Good. Yeah, I'm a bit surprised that it's so ground-based. Like, it seems like most of it's on the ground, doesn't it?
Right.
They would have thought it'd be more out in space. And I mean, obviously you get those moments, but yeah. Judging by the trailer, it seems like it's going to be mostly on Earth or somewhere like it. So,
I think it'll go cosmic, possibly in Avengers 4.
Right.
Is what I'm thinking.
Obviously, Thanos collects 2 of the gems at least.
Yeah. Not looking good for...
Which ones? It was the...
Tesseract. Yeah.
And purple one was the one from Guardians of the Galaxy, wasn't it?
Yes.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
But it looks like he's getting the stone from Vision.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is, yeah.
That's going to be emotional. I think this whole film's going to be emotional. People are going to die. It doesn't look good for Spider-Man either. I don't know what you thought of that when Thanos, like, pinned him down.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be some of that. I don't think they're always going to die when they come across Thanos, especially at the start when he doesn't have all the gems.
Yeah.
Stones. What is it? Gems. Stones?
Infinity Stones.
I don't know. It's not conclusive, but yeah, I see what you mean. It doesn't look promising.
But highlights to definitely pick out. So we got Iron Spider suit. That looks amazing.
Looks pretty good. I would have liked some extra, like, spidery things.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, if you look in the comics, he has, like, actual arms, like metallic arms.
Yeah, so cool. I mean, they could still do something like that.
Yeah, of course. We get Spider Sense confirmed. Because that didn't really feature in Spider-Man Homecoming that much. But we definitely saw that with his little hairs on his arm, which was pretty cool.
Goosebumps.
Goosebumpies, yes. We have the Hulkbuster is back.
Yes. It looked like, I mean, it's funny that it's the Hulk and then the Hulkbuster just kind of casually standing next to each other.
Yeah. Is Mark Ruffalo in the Hulkbuster at some point? It kind of looks like he is.
I feel like it's probably just on the Avengers grounds.
Right, okay. So Captain America is back.
Right.
But his nomadic version with a beard.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And I loved it when T'Challa was like, get this man a shield.
I'm not sure I buy that yet.
Really?
Okay. Well, Cap is, to me, is the other version of Cap. I don't know if I can buy this guy as rugged. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
He's too pretty boy.
Right. Fair enough. Yeah. Bucky is back from being frozen.
Yes.
And he's got this, like, machine gun. It's just the end scene where they're all running towards to battle. I was just like, oh, I'm ready for this film. It looks so good.
Who are the people in the battle that I didn't really...
It looks like... I mean, we haven't had Black Panther yet, but it looks like his tribe.
Oh, okay.
There's a whole load of them. And, yeah, we haven't been introduced to them yet, but it definitely looks like it's that kind of vibe going off there.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
It is very, very, very exciting. We also, interestingly, get the Vision as Paul Bettany with Scarlet Witch.
That's interesting.
So if you know about the comics, they...
Because in the other one, he had a very purple face.
Yes, very, very purple.
So he can obviously change his appearance and stuff.
Yeah, he can change his matter and he can go through walls and stuff. So
that makes sense. Cool.
But yeah, I think that's going to be so sad. It's going to break Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. I don't know. Will it get it? Will it destroy him?
I think so.
I mean, it feels like it should.
Yeah.
It's like
so sad.
A significant part of his being at this point. Like, they needed it to create him, right?
Yeah.
That will be sad. That will be sad. But we don't know. We don't know. We'll have to...
Another interesting shot was Loki, where he was holding the Tesseract, and it looked like there was a tear. He was passing it to... But he looked
probably
like he
just
was...
handed it over.
Yeah. It looked like he was walking over a whole load of dead bodies, though. So is that... Mm. You know, we were talking about the end of Thor when we saw the ship.
Mm.
Do you think Thanos wipes them all out, and that's him walking over everyone from Asgard?
It's interesting. I had the impression that was very on ground level as well. I need to watch that again to work out where he is, but yeah,
but
I'm not sure.
The super exciting part right at the end was Thor, still with one eye, meeting Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
So that's two of Marvel's most like cosmic characters like come together, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, but you would expect that to happen quite early on in the film, because obviously Thanos gets that stone pretty quickly, doesn't he? So yeah, that's interesting.
So yeah, overall, what are your thoughts about the trailer? What did you think?
Yeah, I like it. I'm excited.
Hope train level is going.
Yeah, right, going. It's going good. It's increasing. Hype is increasing.
So let us know your thoughts on the trailer, what Easter eggs you loved, and what your favourite parts were. Kevin Feige has revealed how many more Marvel movies are on the way. So Vanity Fair have done like a huge spread promoting Marvel and Infinity War, and they talked to Kevin, the man himself, and he revealed that there are 20 more films coming. 20 more films, as well as... however many that there's been. Yeah, 17.
I would expect them to just keep churning them out. I didn't expect that they would know in advance that they were going to do 20 more. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy that they're planning ahead that many.
Yes. So yeah, basically he said that 22 movies in and we've got another 20 movies on the docket that are completely different from anything we've ever done before, intentionally.
Good.
So that's good. They're kind of like mixing it up, because I mean, a lot of people have said that Marvel films are like exactly the same. They follow
agree,
a similar format.
Sure,
sort of thing.
But it's a winning format.
It is, true. I mean, if you look at, I don't want to compare the two, but how DC are doing in comparison to Marvel with their extended universe. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. But yeah, you can tell they're definitely going down different like paths. So you got Black Panther coming up, you got Captain Marvel coming up. So are they going to use some lesser-known characters, some more intriguing characters, do you think? Yeah, I mean...
I think it's great that they're kind of exploring the back catalogue a little bit, and they're giving directors that aren't so well-known, perhaps, a chance to do their movies. It just makes it a bit different, doesn't it? And
I mean, look how well James Gunn, Taika Waititi have managed to do with their films.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, who knew about Guardians of the Galaxy before the films, right? I mean, talking raccoon, talking tree. How insane would that? How insane did that sound? And then they did the film and it was actually amazing. So
yeah, and I like that it takes the power out of the few people that usually get to make the movies, you know, as well. And just, shakes it up a bit and makes it a bit more interesting.
So, yeah, I think in the future we're going to be seeing less of Tony Stark. Is he going to be passing it on to Peter Parker? He's still quite young, which is a bit worrying. Captain America, is he going to be Nomad Captain America? Is he going to pass his mantle on to Vulcan, like in the comics, or Bucky, possibly? It's going to be definitely very interesting. So let us know which comic book titles that they should adapt. So to go along with that interview with Kevin Feige with Vanity Fair, there are a load of new images from that photo shoot, which are actually amazing. There's also 4 special Marvel covers that's going to be on sale soon, and they feature a whole load of our favourites characters from the MCU. And apparently there were 83 people that they managed to get together in this photo shoot.
They did it all at once.
Yeah, how insane is this? I'm pretty sure Mark Ruffalo did like a Facebook live stream from this, and it was like a top secret thing that I don't think you're supposed to be filming this, Mark. He's so bad at spoilers.
How the hell did they do all that makeup with that many people?
I know, and the costumes and everything.
It's been quite an undertaking, wasn't it?
Definitely. But there's so many interesting things to look at. If you look at the actual spread rather than the covers, you've got some interesting things to notice. So Thor still has both of his eyes, which is intriguing. Maybe...
Spoilers.
Yes.
If you haven't seen the film.
You should have seen that. By now, I'd hope you've
seen it. I think maybe that's a good reason why they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. I think, and especially with the Infinity War trailer, I think that's why they haven't released it yet.
Right.
Because they still want people to see the Thor film.
Sure.
But apparently he's got like a scar in his eye. So maybe he does get a new eye. Ooh, he knows.
Oh, a new eyeball.
Oh, but he still has his hammer, which is kind of intriguing because we know that was unfortunately destroyed. No more. We also see the return of War Machine following his accident in Captain America Civil War, which is intriguing. I love Baby Groot as well on Drax's shoulder. Cool. So cute. But yeah, is War Machine coming back? Is he making a return?
Clearly, in some form.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. We also have our first look at Hawkeye's mohawk, which may be playing part in Infinity War, if you know what I'm talking about. Wink, wink.
Hairstyle plays a part in a
yes,
movie.
Okay, it does, sure. But I'm not going to spoil anything. If you know what I mean, smile now.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. We also see Captain America. He's got an old suit on and he hasn't got his beard, so he's not Nomad Captain America yet. From Infinity War.
Yeah, he looks like pretty standard Captain America.
Yeah, so I don't know where continuity plays into this, but it's still cool to see them all together. We've also got Stan Lee featured, which is really nice.
Yeah, it does make you wonder like if they were worried about continuity or not.
Mm.
But then there's some things in there which feel like they are kind of teasing you of what's coming up.
Yeah.
So then you think, they must...
Yeah, you've got Black Panther characters in there, and that film still isn't out yet.
Mm.
So that's kind of intriguing. But yeah, it looks amazing. I mean, how they managed to get all those characters in there, it's pretty cool. And I love the covers. I think they're so great. I love the one with Mark Ruffalo. I don't know if you've seen it. He's just... Everyone's, like, suited up. He's just got, like, green paint on his hands.
Yeah. That was his punishment for...
for spoiling it. Yeah.
It is interesting to me, though, that they put so much... Clearly a whole lot of work and, you know, money into this. It's a magazine cover, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
There he is. If you haven't seen that, go to haveahawk.co.uk, our website, and then you can have a look at all the thumbnails there. So Marvel and Clark Gregg shared our first 70 minutes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Series 5 online the other day. Now we watched this. Chris, I know you weren't huge on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., were you? You haven't really kept up with it.
I think I watched like one or two episodes. I really didn't ever get into it to keep
up
with it.
Yeah, the annoying thing was it tied into Captain America, you know, when they find out about Hydra. And, so it only really revealed things then. But anyway, yeah, we watched the first 17 minutes of Series 5, and they are in space, and it looks very Guardians of the Galaxy. Definitely one character. His mask is very sort of Star-Lord-esque.
That's true.
So what did you think of this then?
It wasn't his mask that was Star-Lord-esque, it was his jacket.
His
face looked very kind of Ant-Man almost, didn't it?
Oh yeah, it was like a weird sort of cross,
I quite enjoyed it. I think it's better than I remember it.
Yeah, it was. So. I find it quite funny as well. There was some.
But can I really start watching it at this point? Is that
true?
Is that an option? And so we have so much other stuff that we're watching as well. It's like I'll watch one or two and see what I think.
The last series was so good with Ghost Rider. I really had to try and catch up on it all because I think I watched the first series and then I heard that Ghost Rider was coming back and I was like, So yeah, caught up on it. But yeah, I think this looks really cool. It looks kind of Guardians of the Galaxy cross Doctor Who. Sort of thing. Yeah. And we've got these weird, what do they call them? Roach creatures.
Yeah.
It's like insect alien things on board. It's kind of like an alien vibe in that respect.
Yeah, actually it felt very Doctor Who.
Yeah, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah. It felt like one of the kind of Doctor Who space episodes. Mm. So, yeah.
But for some weird reason, it actually started off as Series 4 ended. Because right at the end of Series 4, the crew kind of got picked up and taken to space. Mm. But it started off and showed you who it was who basically took them to space. And it was this guy, this alien dressed as a guy. Did you notice that was weird?
That was weird.
It felt like very Men in Black.
Yeah, and they'd like dehydrated or something, were they?
Yeah, and then there was this weird goo stuff. It was really interesting.
Yeah, it was good.
So if you want to watch that, if you go ahead to our website, if you head to YouTube, you can watch it there. Adam Warlock may not be in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 after all. No! So James Gunn, he's always on social media and he's always answering fans' questions, which is actually really great. But he has teased that the character, they weren't actually going to include him at all.
Yeah, so we saw in the post-credit scene in the second film that...
Aisha?
Right, there was the pod thing and we assumed that he was in it. And it seems like he is, but now James Gunn is saying we don't know when he's coming out of the pod kind of thing. they're saying there's 20 movies ahead or whatever. True. So it could be any one of those.
Which is a shame, though, because, I mean, if you read the comics, you know that he goes toe-to-toe with Thanos. So he could become really handy in Avengers 3 or 4 or Infinity War.
Yeah.
But I guess there's already so many other characters involved that they really have to fight Thanos rather than... Adam Warlock could be like a Superman from Justice League sort of thing.
Mm. Once also, he comes along. Would you really want to get rid of Thanos at this stage? You probably want to keep him around, so you don't want someone that's really as powerful as him yet.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's... Oh, I don't know. I really want to see this character. He sounds so cool.
Okay.
So, yeah, James Gunn basically said they almost didn't include the Adam Warlock scene because it was definitely not in Avengers 3 or 4 and we had no plans for him in general.
Mm.
Despite so many people thinking Adam will show up in Volume 3, that is something that we have never confirmed. Who knows how long it will take him to bake in that cocoon? That said, I love Adam, but the time must be right.
Yeah.
Which is actually quite nice. I mean, they actually really plot out these films and they really put some thought into it. Seems like they care,
you know, which is important, I think.
So, weird news story of the month, possibly. Jude Law is in talks, as possibly confirmed by now, that he's going to join Captain Marvel, which...
Possibly confirmed.
I think it's true by now. But yeah, I'm not too happy about this news story. I don't know about you.
I don't know anything about the characters, so it's hard to say.
Yes.
Is he... So, this Captain Marvel character... Marvel seems a bit strange to me. It's like a recipe for confusion.
Yeah, because you've got Captain Marvel, you've got
Captain Marvel,
Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel, and you've got Miss Marvel. Yeah, it's very confusing.
So who is this guy? Is he a good guy, bad guy?
He's a good guy. He is a Kree, Kree is an alien race that will come into play. They formed the Inhumans. They experimented on them.
Oh, right.
And they're the ones who created them. But they will come into play in Infinity War.
Sure.
There will be a big storyline there. So yeah, he's a pink Kree. He came to Earth to study humans' progress towards space travel. He posed as someone called Dr. Lawson because he had a weird resemblance of him, apparently.
Right.
As you do in comics. That's when he first met the security chief, Carol Danvers, who then becomes Captain Marvel, basically. He developed a concern for her and caused him to experience love for her. So that's nice, isn't it?
So he's a pink Kree, which basically just means he's
not a blue human Kree.
Looking.
Yeah. Variety of Kree, kind of interesting. Because we've already seen a blue Kree in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Ronan. So yeah, that's kind of interesting. But the thing is, if you're going to make a Captain Marvel film, much like Wonder Woman, if you're going to have a strong female character, why would you then need another strong male character? I think it should be very women-orientated if it's going to be. I mean, Brie Larson is amazing. You've seen her in Room. Free Fire, is that what it was called, the latest one? That was really funny. So yeah, I really feel like you don't need him in this. I mean,
if it's like an origin story type thing, then you do, because it explains why she became
who she is.
Right?
Yeah.
Because obviously he kind of fell in love with her and then she became his Marvel or whatever, I assume. So there is a connection there and that should be explained, I suppose.
Yeah. But did you know where I'm coming from?
I know what you mean.
Wow, women! But yeah, I think Jude Law's a bit of a weird casting, if you ask me. I mean, if you go and type Marvel into Google, he's like this quite big, blonde, hulking sort of guy. And it's And the other thing that kind of annoyed me is that he's playing a young Albus Dumbledore in Fantastic Beasts at the moment.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I'd give someone else a chance, you know?
I'm not a big fan of Jude Law. No. He just looks kind of...
A bit poncy.
I don't know what it is. Yeah.
But yeah, let us know what you think. I am not convinced yet. Maybe when I see it, I'll love it.
I feel like he'd make a better bad guy.
Yeah. That's very stereotypical.
Yeah.
All of us English people are all bad guys, by the way. And because we haven't had time to talk about it yet, because we had our non-Marvel episode last week... We've had a Deadpool teaser, good housekeeping thing, and a poster. So that's pretty exciting. Very Thanksgiving vibe here. But yeah, I'm super excited. We know the marketing for Deadpool is always crazy and insane and so good. So hype train is up there for me.
It seems like it's whatever they feel like on the day kind of thing. I love the Bob Ross thing. That was crazy.
That was so funny. Weird. We had so many like first looks as well. We had the first look at Domino. We had Cable's arm. sneak in there right at the end. Also, Dupinda was back.
Mm.
So that was pretty cool. Also, the blind lady, what's her name? She's so funny. She was holding a gun. That was pretty cool. Negasonic Teenage Warhead was also back. So that was cool. In a yellow X-Men outfit again, which is great because that is like the classic outfit, which we've never seen in X-Men, like properly, right?
Do you get any more X-Men in this one?
Sure. I'm guessing what's his face will be back. Yeah, I bet Colossus will be back because he was so funny in the first one, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. We also get our first look at the guy from Hunt for the Wilder People, you know, the kid. He's starring in this.
Really?
Yeah, he's in a church when it's on fire. And he just looks like he's, I don't know, is he going to play the bad guy? I'm not sure what he's doing, but he does look hilarious. So I cannot wait for this. It looks so funny.
That's cool. I like it.
So Brian K. Vaughan's beloved graphic novel, Marvel's Runaways, which I personally really love, has been adapted into an American web television series created for Hulu by Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Sarich. So the first three episodes dropped on November 21st on Hulu. So by the time this comes out, four episodes will have premiered. We've seen the first four, thanks to DWW. And yeah, so basically, Renzi Feliz, Lyrica Arcano, Virginia Garner, Ariella Bera, Greg Sulkin, and Allegra Acosta star as the titular Runaways. And I'm so sorry if that... Thank
well
you.
Done. Well done.
I'm so sorry if I pronounced any of those wrong. And yeah, we've got the Pride as well, so who are their parents? And basically, it's about these kids finding out that their parents are the bad guys, which we haven't really seen before, which is a really interesting
idea and concept.
Really cool. So, as we've seen the first four episodes, Chris, what were your initial thoughts?
So now we've seen Stephanie Savage as a showrunner, who previously did OC and Gossip Girl.
Yeah, that kind of...
I mean, watching the first episode, I really wasn't paying much attention and I was just getting vibes like it wasn't for me.
Right.
You know?
Which is fair.
But then watching further episodes,
I think episode three and four is when it kind of ramped up for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, when we start seeing, you know, things.
Full spoilers from now, I think.
Okay. Yeah, when we start seeing, like, interesting kind of goggles and...
Old Lace, the dinosaur.
Dinosaurs.
And the Staff of One.
Yeah.
Yes, all these...
The witches.
Different elements.
Things.
Yes.
I think it's a very cool concept, but I'm not sure about the show yet, really. I feel like... I'm going to have to give it a few more episodes to see what I really think. Because I feel like in the book, as you show me the book...
Yes.
It's much more visually interesting in the book
than
it is on the show so far. Like, one thing that stands out to me is that all the parents in the book, they have their own unique, individual kind of cool looks.
Yeah.
Which they really don't have in the show yet.
You can't really translate that to screen, though, can you?
I think you could.
I think they're
going to
develop
weird,
it anyway.
I hope they develop that a little bit and kind of make it a little bit more visually interesting. Although the dinosaur and stuff is cool. So, yeah, the kind of teen aspect of it, I'm not so sure about. That's just me.
We know you.
We've
you're not
about
into
that
the
many
CW
times.
Teen things.
You know my feelings on that.
Yes.
So, yeah, but overall, I think generally positive.
Okay.
How about you?
So, as you know, Chris, I devoured this book.
Yeah, you love
I loved
the subject
it so
matter.
Much. Yeah, so I read the complete collection, volume one, which I do need to read volume two and more. And I absolutely loved it. And now you can, if you've read the book, you'll definitely notice the differences because there's quite a lot of differences. But the pacing is the big one for me. They've definitely explored the characters a lot more, especially the parents, and there's been a lot deeper sort of interaction and like look into them, which I mean, the first two episodes they split that all into one day, which was kind of interesting. So the first episode was all about the kids and them coming back together after this tragic accident, we don't really know yet, which is kind of intriguing. And then the second episode, it was basically from the parents' perspective, which is really cool because in the book, you really don't, they're quite two-dimensional. You just think they're bad guys. They don't really have like layers.
Yeah, I think that's something that I picked up from looking, just quickly flicking through the book, is that the book jumps into the story very quickly.
It does, yeah.
And the show jumps into the characters. So I think the show is more character-based.
Yeah.
and the book is more story-based.
Yes.
And I prefer story-based stuff generally.
Okay, that's fair enough. But I actually found out that Brian K. Vaughan, the amazing author of this, if you haven't heard of him, you should. Why the Last Man in Saga? Also very good books. But yeah, he thought he was going to be cancelled after every issue. So that's the reason why the pace was so fast. And so he actually, did he co-write this? He was very involved with the TV show. So one thing he said that he really regretted is that he didn't explore the parents. Okay. So he had a lot of input in the series. So that's the reason why they've gone back and they've slowed it right down.
Yeah,
and they've really explored...
If you're doing a comic book as well, you it is a very visual medium.
Yeah.
And you have to get a lot of story into a very short amount of pages. So it makes sense that the book would be much faster and have a lot more visual interest.
Yeah. Because, I mean, after you read the first section, basically they've found out, you know, their parents are bad guys and they run away straight away. And we're four episodes in and they're still... Owing and ahhing, really, which is kind of interesting.
Yet, so.
But I mean, when you actually watched the sacrifice sort of thing, you weren't quite sure what the capsule did. So that could be.
Yeah, there's some of the mystery to it, which is quite good.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that. So we don't really know what's happening yet.
No.
Which is good, I think.
But the thing that, just still talking about initial thoughts, I think they got the characters and the actors, like, spot on. They look perfect. So if you compare them, they're just phenomenal. So good. Love the parents. Some of the parents I love more. Some that I really love, like Gert's parents. They seem so nice, which is weird. We'll talk about that a bit later. But yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, they don't feel like they fit into the pride. I don't know. We'll see.
Quite funny, yeah.
And the amount of mystery as well. I mean, it really unravels in Runaways, the graphic novel, it so quickly, because we've talked about the pace. But in the TV show, there's a lot more depth to it, because you've got the Church of Gibberum. You got that weird, mystical, old-looking man with the face mask, whatever that is. You've got the Molly's parents, what happened to her, because she's been adopted by Gert's mum and dad, so that was a bit weird. And then you've got the whole death of Nico's sister, which hasn't really been explained. So there's so much mystery to it, and it's so sort of the drip-feeding you. And I feel like because they're exploring it more, that you will get a bigger payoff.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. I think there has to be a good payoff. Otherwise, it was all for nothing.
Oh, and I really hope so.
We've experienced this with shows like Lost, where they drip feed you all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, in the end, you just realise they had no idea.
You know, right,
bullshitting the whole way through.
But no, the source material is so good.
Yeah, the source material is there, so it should be good.
Yeah, so for me, very hopeful. And I love old lace. Okay, so going on to performances and actors and characters.
Yeah, a little bit teeny.
Yeah. Well, OC and Gossip Girl is going to be quite teeny. They've made it more teeny than the graphic novel. So I think they're targeting a specific demographic.
Yes. Yeah, I thought the performances were fine and everything. Yeah, it was fine.
It was fine. Okay, interesting. So you got Gert and Molly. I love those two. Gert was my favourite. Gert and Old Lace were my favourite in the graphic novels. Now I'm going to point out here, the lady who plays Gert, she's amazing. But in the graphic novel, she's on the chunkier side, shall we say.
Yeah.
And a bit of...
That's one of my pet peeves.
Yeah, a bit of shame that they didn't actually have a larger actress in this. I mean, she's amazing.
Whoever she is. She's amazing, whoever she is. But she's not my...
She's not my Gert, no. She's amazing, so we'll see. But
one thing you did say as well is that bloke with the gauntlet guy?
Yeah.
He looks different as well.
Yes, he does. So Chase Dine, he does look slightly different. He's got kind of longer hair in this.
He's a bit more of a stoner-looking kid,
isn't he? He's a bit more of like a jock character in this. He looks a bit more of a stony kid in the graphic novel. But in this, he's a bit of a jock, which is kind of interesting. I thought they got them all spot on. I mean, if you look at Molly, she just looks the same, which is great, with her hat. Also, Alex, he looks the same as well. His glasses and his hair. They got them so spot on.
Yeah,
and
got
Nico.
4 out of 6 spot on.
Oh, okay, interesting. Nico is very interesting as well.
Yeah.
So the interactions between them, I think they're trying to lead you down a different path than initially in the graphic novel. Because there's certain people that like certain other people. But I won't spoil anything. But
I feel like in the graphic novel, they're just forced together immediately. It's like they can't be helped.
In
this, they're trying to gel them together before anything really even happens. They're a group already.
Yeah, which... kind of makes sense. I mean, because they have to meet, I think, every year for the Pride meeting that takes place for the certain charity hyphen that the parents are doing work for. And they're forced together in the graphic novels. Whereas in this, they seem like they're actually a friendship group. But then Nico's sister died and they all didn't talk again.
Right.
Which was quite sad. But now they've all come back together. And now that's when they find out about their parents. So, yeah, it's very interesting.
Definitely. And the characters, though, some other characters coming into it. The Gibberum.
Yes.
I'm wondering what they're going to do with that. Because in the book, they're very different. They are very distinctive.
Yes.
In their appearance. And I want them to explore doing something interesting.
It's kind of intriguing how they've incorporated it as the Church of Gibberum. Because the church wasn't in the graphic novel.
Okay.
So are they worshipping these?
Seems like a cult or religion or something.
Yeah.
It? And. It seems like the guy in the bed is probably one of them, isn't he?
Mm. He's got but if that is the case,
then he's much different.
Yes.
And it's perhaps a little bit less impressive.
It's very hard to try and explain it without spoilers.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's another big mystery that I'm actually quite intrigued about. He's got this weird face apparatus as well. What's that all about?
I assume he can't breathe. Or it's like a different atmosphere or something, maybe.
It's very intriguing anyway. But I'm sure they will reveal it.
But I just hope the reveal is a good one.
Yes.
That's my thing.
Interesting. Okay, so let's go through other casts. So the parents, let's talk about these. So the Yorks, there is a slight change. They used to be time travellers, which is a very interesting aspect, but I don't know if you could do that on screen. They are now bioengineers.
Right.
Because, you know, when they went down the basement, they had all the animals.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
But they just seem so nice. They seem like vegan, hippie guys. And cool, why are they involved in the Pride? They seem like at the end of episode 4, they want to get their kids away from the Pride. They want to escape. But then Nico's parent...
I think they came together out of necessity originally or something.
Yes.
And now, but now they feel like they don't need the Pride anymore or whatever.
Mm. I think a lot of morals are being examined.
Mm.
So they have Old Lace, who... we have seen in 2 episodes, and it's amazing. The visual effects are pretty good on El Lace, actually. I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah, and then we have the Dean family. The change, basically, they used to be Hollywood actors. Now they're leaders of the Gibberon Church, which is a new addition. Caroline has taken her bracelet off, and she's all glowy and rainbowy, isn't she?
Yeah.
No, I guess she's an alien, right?
She must be an alien or a unicorn.
Or both. Alien unicorn. We then have the Minoru family, so Nico's family, which I don't know, I'm intrigued about, because obviously the whole thing is about the death of her sister, Amy.
Mm.
Yeah, what happened there? It seemed...
yeah.
Seemed a bit weird.
Seems like they've kind of brushed it under the rug a little bit, and we're going to find out a bit more about that.
But yeah, in the comics, they were dark wizards. But yeah, the mum seems horrible. The dad seems really nice. So that's kind of intriguing.
It's interesting. So is she a wizard or a witch?
Mm.
What's the difference? Is that a thing? I thought that was really cool with the wand and the thing.
Yeah, we'll see that come into play. Yep. That's pretty cool. That's called the Staffel one, so look out for that soon. We have the Wilder family. They are mafia bosses, which we have seen, I think, in episode 2, because you found out that his dad actually went to jail and that he was involved with this gang. And I think he's quite high up now in the city.
There's also a bit of a infidelity going on in the group, isn't there? His parents.
Yes. Oh, so Nico's dad.
Mm.
Oh, the Stein mother. Mm. So that's kind of intriguing. So yeah, the Steins, they're basically scientists in the graphic novel. But in this, it's just the father. So James Marsters' character. And yeah.
That worries me a little bit, though. Because that makes me think they're just going down the kind of human story route. Like very human interactions. Whereas I feel like I would like it to be bigger and more about their interactions that aren't human. Does that follow?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not sure what I think about that.
The thing that's kind of intriguing me, though, is Molly. I mean, she was adopted by the Yorks family, but they keep talking about her parents and how they tragically died.
Yeah.
I don't think they tragically died. So that's kind of intriguing, because her parents were actually in the graphic novel. They were legitimate characters.
Oh.
So that's intriguing. They were telepathic mutants.
Okay.
But they're not allowed to use the word mutants in Marvel stuff, aren't they?
Maybe they just decided it'd be easier just to get rid of them.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Anyway, let's quickly talk about story. So we pretty much talked about it. So kids find out that their parents are part of like a weird cult thing called the Pride. And their cover is basically that they're working for a charity. And I think their meeting takes place once a year. They kind of have to meet up at this meeting. And they basically discover that their parents made a sacrifice, sort of thing. And now they're basically trying to find out whether their parents are actual evil.
Yeah. So I guess they're sort of sacrificing people to keep that guy alive.
I think that's basically what's yeah. happening right now.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing was the capsule didn't work out, did it? That Victor Stein made. So he was an evil character. Mm. he basically killed her and then her body washed up ashore. And we're like, oh. And then they tried to get a homeless guy, right?
Yeah,
if you remember that. to try and make as a sacrifice. So I'm kind of intrigued to see, because they don't all seem super evil. Mm. So
yeah, I think they're just doing what they need to do for their worship.
But the also interesting thing along the way is basically these kids are finding out about their powers and other things along the way. So that's pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah, we've seen one of them like hit things and destroy things.
Yes. Molly.
Yes. And one of them, she can talk to dinosaurs.
Yeah, Gert can telepathically talk to Old Lace,
right.
a dinosaur.
Right.
We also have Nico, who had the Staffel one. She made the snow.
Mm.
I don't know if you remember that. And Chase is actually making his gauntlets at the moment. So I'm intrigued to see the gauntlets because they're kind of cool.
Yeah, I feel like it hasn't really kicked off yet. I want to see their powers come into effect and some interesting visuals and stuff. Mm. You know?
So far, Molly's has been, I think, the most impressive. And obviously, Old Lace.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so let's round this off then.
How do you rate this then? Does it stand up to your expectations?
So far, it is very different. I mean, there is a lot of differences. And I am really enjoying it so far. I mean, it's great. The cast is so diverse. It's possibly the most diverse show ever, which is fantastic. And a great step for Marvel. I think the cast are great. They're spot on to their comic counterparts. I'm really enjoying the kind of mystical side of it. And I feel like it's a little bit of a slow burn, but we'll get there super soon, I think. And I'm really looking forward to the next episode.
Cool.
I would rate this 1.5 thumbs up.
1.5 thumbs. Okay. I would say that I feel like it's got a good base, the graphic novel, essentially. Yes. So I'm just hoping that it can rise to that, you know?
Yeah.
So far, I feel like I'm not sure, but I'm interested to see where they go with it.
Yeah. I think, to be fair, you're probably not the right kind of audience
perhaps.
For this, possibly. Yeah. But you're enjoying it, aren't you?
Yeah, I think the route that they've gone with it isn't the route that isn't for me. It's not for me. It wasn't written for me.
No.
You know what I mean? Well, the novel may have been, but then...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say I'll give it 1 thumbs up. I can see the positives.
Yep.
And I'm just going to watch a few more, see how it goes for me. And then if I can't commit to it, then I can't commit to it.
Okay, fair enough. So let's get some listener feedback. So Polypod at Polypod said, we reviewed it a couple episodes back and it got a big old Polypod thumbs up. John was quite fond of it, citing the inability to binge as its only fault.
Yeah.
Which I know is a big thing for me right now because there's those cliffhangers and then I just want to watch the next one. And because of Netflix, you can.
Yeah,
and then when it comes to like HBO or Hulu, you're like, I have to wait a week, damn it.
So great watching like Punisher or something. You can just go, should we watch the next one?
Yeah, let's just watch the next one. Yeah. Mopey at DC Mopey said, I really liked it, smiley face. I read the comics. I like that they totally rewrote Molly. I also like that the parents have actual personalities in this version. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Need to see more powers, though. Yep. Also, the actor who plays Chase looks like he was constricted from less leading man. I don't know what that means. casting James Masters as his dad was a stroke of genius, but I've also enjoyed him. Oh, and I really like their Nico.
Hmm.
Jake and Tom Conker at The Drunken Dork said, meh, Runaways is okay, but it clearly isn't aimed at me.
Yeah.
That's fair play. I mean, I think that the two guys are possibly in their 30s.
Right, right.
Who like The Punisher.
Right.
So, fair play.
Yeah, no, I share that.
Yeah.
Science
Fanatics at Science Fanatics said, quite a provoking start. I see several conflicts rising in the first two episodes. The drama is going to be great. The beginning of episode 1 was slow, but once they all arrived at the mansion, it was awesome. Flashbacks to when they were preteen will make this show untouchable. Jason Amast at JJCat82 said, I really liked it. Can't wait to see the next episode.
Yeah.
Drew Hallam at Dr. Homie H has a huge one. So great feedback, thank you. The first two episodes aren't without their lack of energy. However, there are enough Easter eggs and revelations to keep you enticed. The beginning of the show is slow. It definitely is. However, I think that is to make you connect with the characters themselves. Their lives are full of doubt and having them feel like teenagers and appreciated. However, it does get better and allows for reasonable enough character development. It's a drastic change from the comics, especially considering the parents. However, I do see a dramatic chance for improvement and development in the storyline. It's a fun show and writers aren't hitting you in the face with action right off the bat. They're making you wait for it, which is honestly smart. Being one of my favourite comic series of all time, this is definite guilty pleasure. I think there are big things in store for the Hulu original.
It's interesting. Yeah, I think I would say I would have preferred if they'd just jumped straight into the story.
Okay.
Gone straight for it and not worried too much about the characters and just develop the characters along the way.
Right.
That would be my preferred way of doing it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's multiple things going on at once.
Yeah.
Whereas it feels like they decided, oh, we're going to look at the characters first and then we'll kind of start developing the story as we go kind of thing.
Fair enough. I think it's because we're so used to Marvel Netflix shows that right. It's just like action straight off the bat, isn't it? Whereas this, I feel there's a lot more thinky, mystery, slow burn sort of thing.
Thinky. Question marks.
Question marks. Crystal at Jaeger Crystal said, I'll be starting it hopefully tonight. I'm excited to hear what you all think. Looks pretty amazing. I haven't heard anything bad about it yet. So that's pretty cool. Just one more thing. So what do you think compared to other Marvel TV shows and properties?
What's the other one recently that we started watching?
Oh, The Gifted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably on a similar level.
Do you think it sits with that kind of?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
I really like some of the Marvel things. I mean, I love all the Netflix things. And I love Legion.
Yes, that was phenomenal.
So, yeah, it's a wide range.
Marvel
definitely does just kind of do a lot of different angles on things, don't they?
Yeah.
Whereas it feels like the DC TV shows are all very much the same.
Yeah.
They're all the same exact kind of
formula.
Formula.
Whereas this,
which is interesting because that's what people say about the Marvel
films. Right? Yeah, very strange. So they have a really broad scope, I thought. So let us know what you thought of Runaways, and I'm very much looking forward to the rest of it. So this week we're joined by special guest James Masters. What? Used to love this guy when I was younger and Buffy. So I was like super fangirling when I was, it was just awkward, super awkward. But yeah, amazing. So he starred as Spike in Buffy and he's also currently in Runaways as Victor Stein.
And he loves games.
And he loves games, yeah, he's a gamer.
So that's cool.
So not really into comic books. But yeah, I really hope you enjoyed this interview. It was so much fun doing it and he's amazing, so really hope you enjoy. And there will be slight spoilers if you haven't read the graphic novel, but go watch it and go read it. Welcome the one and only James Masters, aka Victor Stein on Marvel's Runaways. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulously well. I am enjoying a perfect morning here in California. It's about 72 degrees and the birds are singing and my pool is rippling, and yeah, so just another brutal California winter.
Oh, it sounds awful.
Yeah, it's my cross, but I'll bear it.
Yeah, well, being here in the Britain when it's coming to winter, it's like, oh.
Yeah, you guys have this thing called rain.
Yeah, it's
which
not
is
fun.
Probably a good thing. Well, no, but, you know, it gives you stuff called drinking water, which is always refreshing.
True.
When you need it. In California, we're having a bit of a problem with that. I survived a good full season of filming with some really good people. I'm still walking, which is always great.
Yeah, that's always positive.
Because, yeah, when you do a show with a lot of action, it's always good to finish a season with
nothing broken.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right, so, first question. So, how would you describe Runaways to someone who's never heard of it at all?
Runaways is the story of a group of teenagers that find out that their parents are villains, super villains, actually. And so they're not unlike a lot of teenagers who get to a point of life when they look at their parents and they see that they're that they're not all good. Yeah, so it's a metaphor for what everybody goes through in adolescence when they realize that their parents are deeply flawed.
Humans, yeah.
yeah, and it's happened to me as a parent. My kids have turned around and looked at me and looked at some of the choices that I've made in my life and been uncomfortable with what I've done, the kind of moral corners that I've cut in the pursuit of raising them, making money and keeping them secure and safe. I have not paid attention to being perfectly, living up to my own moral code, and I've become less than I told them that I was, I think.
Mm. So it's very relatable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of horrifying, actually, as a parent.
Right.
So
what was it about the show that pulled you into the project that got you really quite interested to take it?
I think it was that central idea. And well, let's see. I think it was because Josh and Stephanie, the two writers, two principal showrunning writers, wanted to explore the parent side of things. And I'm always interested to really find out what the villain is thinking. And explore the possibility that the person that it initially is going to be the villain is actually just someone who's maybe made some mistakes. I actually don't think that in really good movies and good stories and good plays, there's really not a lot of villains. There's just that have made mistakes and are hurting people. I would argue that in all of Shakespeare, there's only one true villain. No, there's two. Okay, Iago in Othello, and there's Richard III. And those two are pretty much real villains. Otherwise, there's just characters that are just hurting each other. So in the series, we're giving, I'm not equal time, but we're getting a good amount of time to exploring the parents and how they got themselves dug into this hole, how they, through the best of intentions, made a deal with the devil, really, yeah. and got in over their heads. I play a character that is trying to save the world. His name is Victor Stein, and he's an engineer, industrialist, scientist, mathematician, and he's trying to help the world with energy production and transportation, not unlike Elon Musk. Hmm. Because he realizes without revolutions in energy and transportation, the world is going to burn.
Yeah.
And he's right. And he feels like it's okay to cut some moral corners to get there. Because what is the point of dying with all of your morals intact if you allowed the earth to burn?
Yeah.
And maybe the real moral choice is to sacrifice your own morality so that your race can survive, which I think is arguable. It's very easy for everyone to say, well, no, I'd never become less than myself or do anything evil. But if that means that everyone around you dies, maybe you're being a bit selfish.
Yeah.
So my character and the other parents, I think for all of us, we have reasons that we want to, we're actually trying to do good in a way.
Yeah. It's weird.
And we make a deal with the devil, we get in over our heads, yeah. And then at some point you realize it's kind of like joining the mafia. It's hard to get out.
Yeah.
So we are in blood, stepped in so deep that returning would be as tedious as go over. You just can't go back.
So how would you sum Victor up in one sentence?
Ruthless.
Ooh.
Absolutely. He is pure intention, and he has made his decision, and he is marching straight into hell.
Okay.
He's not looking back. That's not one word. Or not quite one phrase.
It'll
but
do.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Pitiless.
Okay.
But very sexy.
Yeah. So Runaways is quite a rare sort of comic book because Brian K. Vaughan did something completely new and looks at the parents as bad guys. What did you think when you first read the script? Were you kind of blown away by it or...?
Yeah, I mean, I was very much intrigued. I mean, I think that there's a central theme of the comics, which is that there is a gulf between the generations, between parents and kids, for so many reasons. There are things that cannot be talked about or just cannot be understood. There's a lot of things I couldn't tell my kids when they were growing up. Like, you do not tell your child, like, Daddy, why are you so worried? You look sad. What you do not tell your little daughter is, oh, I'm worried that I won't be able to pay for the mortgage and we're going to lose the house.
Yeah.
You don't tell her that. Daddy, why are you angry? well, I just went to the doctor. I might have cancer. I'll find out on Monday. I'm just freaking out. You can't say that. So there are reasons that you protect your kids from the truth. But what that means is that there is this chasm that opens up between you, and you're lying to them, and you're keeping things from them for the best of reasons. And that's only one way that this gulf kind of opens up. There's a lot of love, but how do you get across that gulf? Or should you even try? Or should you just accept that it's there? I think that's a very interesting thing to talk about and to think about. It's one of the many things about the comics that I think are just fabulous.
I mean, because they're kind of walking in a really bad situation about a sacrifice. So it's like, how do you kind of tell them, actually, we're trying to do good?
Yeah. That's a long conversation. I think that I could make a point. I think that actually you could argue that it's better to kill one than let everyone die. But yeah, that's a hard one. That's a hard list. But I mean, okay, if you are going to solve global warming, if you have a chance to solve global warming, but in order to do that, you have to kill one person a year. What would you choose,
Nicky? Oh, it's a tricky one, isn't it? You would go for it, though. I don't know.
I would. Oh, come on. You would do it, right? Killing. Yes.
Yeah.
Because it would be more important for me to die and go to hell and let the whole earth be okay.
Mm.
I would sacrifice my own self, my own being uncomfortable with myself and all. I would even go to hell if it meant that the whole earth could survive and flourish. And I would argue that's heroic.
Yeah.
So yeah. Sorry, son. Yes, I'm killing your friend. Yeah. It's true. I want to explain to you after the sacrifice, but just trust me. It's okay.
If only they came in like 5 minutes later. So in the show, there's bonkers things. There's a dinosaur, there's like magical elements, and also like mutant powers. Do you think they've done justice to all of those aspects for the fans?
Yeah. Everyone has seen it.
Yeah.
Well, there have been critics, and I have spoken with people who've seen 1, 3, 5 episodes, and they are reflecting back that, you know, there are things that are changed. It's not that things kind of must change. I don't have the same hair as Victor in the comic books because it kind of looks like a comic book character. Yeah, like a shock of what is the color of hair straight out of my head, you know, like that doesn't really read. But the heart of the comics are in there, and the characters feel like a respectful continuation of the comics. It's weird, you know, like you really hope you have to change certain things like
there's the staff comics. that had to change how she gets the staff out of herself.
It's hard because I like how do you explain the fact that, like, I'm a comic book fan and one of my favorite is Daredevil. One of my favorite runs of Daredevil was the Frank Miller back in the 90s. That he did a bunch of Daredevil stuff. And how do you explain that the Ben Affleck didn't get it for me? There was a Ben Affleck movie of Daredevil, and it just didn't quite get it. Although they had a lot of the elements.
True.
They had a lot of the elements, but there was just the soul of Daredevil wasn't in that movie for some reason. And how do you explain that the TV series is just an absolute bullseye as far as making me feel the way that the comics made me feel?
Yeah.
Even though in Daredevil, even in the more recent one, the Kingpin is 180 degrees of where he is in the comics. And in the comics, Kingpin, the main villain, is all charm and grace and confidence. And in Vincent D'Onofrio played him all vulnerability.
Definitely.
All lack of confidence, and made him, I think, all the more terrifying.
But then you fell for him.
Yeah. And it was even more horrifying when he was killing people because he was a real person.
Yeah.
So how, you know, like it's the only acid test that I can say is you have to watch it and make up your own mind if the soul of it is still in there. And what I'm hearing from people who love the comics is yes, your soul's in there. And I'm reacting, you know, on the deepest level, I'm reacting the same way to the TV series that I did to the comic.
That's great news.
You know, we have changed things. Yeah.
So what parts have you filmed that you think fans will really enjoy without spoiling anything?
That's kind of a hard one to say without spoiling anything. I guess in a general sense, they've allowed me to be really evil. And yet to do things that are absolutely unforgivable and horrifying, and yet allowed me to also be human and to be relatable and to be felt for. Yeah, they've given me an absolutely full ride where I get to hit all of the bases. And at the end of a season, I think you're going to be deeply confused as to whether you want to like this character or not. I think you're going to be pulled in both ways really strongly. You're going to want to like him. And you're going to want to hate him.
Oh, that sounds really confusing.
Very much.
Yeah. So in Buffy, you got to do a lot of your own stunts. Did you get to do many in this show at all?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I've been shot. I've been thrown on the ground. I've been choked. I have given back as badly as I've gotten.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yes. Stunts are flying, man. We're doing stunts. In fact, the guy who worked with me on Buffy, John Medlin, who was the stunt coordinator for Buffy, he's on Runaways.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was working on a kind of a dicey stunt, and we were just starting to talk about it on the set. I was working with a younger actor who was kind of new to stunts, and I was kind of walking him through a couple moves, and where it was like I was going to be inflicting violence on this other person. And I was just explaining to the other person that, you know, that this is going to be safe. We're going to take it by the numbers. And I think we probably want to kind of approach it this way so that you always feel safe. Because if I feel like you don't feel safe, then I don't have fun. I was just giving this kind of speech. And I hear this I hear this laugh, and it was Medlin. He's like, and he goes, "Oh, it's James Marsters. We're going to be okay." I should have known, you know. And so, yeah, I've been working with John again, and that's just heaven.
Yeah.
Every time.
Didn't you really hurt yourself on the set of Buffy once?
Let's see. I set myself on fire and burned the wrap out of my hand. I let the gag go on for 4 seconds rather than 2 seconds.
Ooh.
Which was how long the protective gel was going to protect my hand. I did an unprotected burn, which is one of the more dangerous gags that you can do. Usually when you get burnt, when your character gets set on fire, they're actually setting your clothes on fire. They're not setting your skin on fire.
Yeah.
But when you do an unprotected burn, you just like dip your hand in a protective gel and then you dip it in a fuel. And you light yourself on fire, and you have a few seconds that the fuel's burning off, but the protective gel is evaporating and burning off really fast. And they said he had 2 seconds, and I thought it would be a funnier shot
right.
in my mind if I just let it go on 4 seconds. And I didn't realize that that's a critical difference. I didn't tell anybody because I knew that they'd never let me do another stunt if they knew that if I'd blown that one so bad. So the whole thing was trying to get off the set. It was my last shot of the season, just trying to get off the set without anyone finding out that my hand was blistering up. And then you're leaving. So everyone wants to be like, "Hey, James, good job, man. I'll see you next season. All right. Hey, how you doing?" And all of these high fives and stuff. And I'm like, "Thank you, man. Sure.
Yeah.
Awesome to see you, man. I love, great time." And this getting off the set and getting to the hospital and driving straight to the hospital, to the emergency room, to get some medical care. But I did it. No one found out.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't tell them. Yeah.
Nice.
So they kept giving me stunts. Yeah. But I couldn't walk by the end of Angel. You do enough stunts and my back got tore up pretty bad.
Ouch.
And so I needed about 9 months of chiropractic and acupuncture to get back on my feet. Stunts is like, it's like playing football. You don't have to go to the hospital necessarily every time, but you wake up the next day pretty sore, and you keep doing that for enough years and you pay the price.
So have you read any other of Brian K. Vaughan's like graphic novels, like Saga or Why the Last Man?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
no.
Shame on you.
No. I really wanted to stay away from Runaways, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing is that the producers, the writers, my bosses are really well informed about Runaways. I don't want to do an impersonation of what I think someone else thinks the character is. I want the character to come from inside me. And so what I do, I have these really passionate discussions with, I just let my heart out with my bosses about what I'm feeling and where I want to go. And they tell me if I'm going in the right direction. And it's kind of weird. It's almost like an ESP because every time I've done this, they kind of go, man, have you been reading this? Like, how did you get a hold of this? The script that's coming up. And I'm like, I never did. They're like, that's exactly where you're going.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So there's a great synthesis that's happening organically that I don't want to interrupt because it feels like I'm making it up.
Mm.
But for some reason, it's exactly where the character is going.
Ooh,
so
creepy.
That's something I know. Yeah. I'd have to spoil things to tell you specifics, but it is pretty. Like when I am like the other parents are like, oh, that's a horrifying thing to do. I'm like, no, you got to do that. Of course, it makes sense. And anyway, I'm a horrible person because I'm thinking like Victor very much.
Uh-oh. That's a bit worrying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
So we've got Cloak and Dagger and also New Warriors coming up next for Marvel. Would you like to see these shows cross over at some point?
Oh, yeah. It's always fun to do crossovers.
What are your thoughts on Squirrel Girl as well?
Squirrel Girl. Yes. I don't know. I have no thoughts on Squirrel Girl. I feel like I'm being led into a trap.
Okay.
I think she's great. I don't know much about Squirrel Girl. I'll be honest about it. I'm a gamer, man. I have very little time for other art forms at this point. I'm just so far into gaming. So you could ask me anything about Mordor.
Okay.
I'm playing the new Mordor game, and so that we could have long discussions about Gondor and all of that. Or whatever video game I'm playing, but I'm afraid I've become woefully inadequate about television shows and comic books and stuff because I'm just gaming so much.
Oh dear. How about Destiny 2? That's a pretty good one at the moment, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I am a single player video gamer because I'm not good enough to play multiplayer. I get too frustrated. You know, I get on one of those multiplayer maps and I die in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, Overwatch.
I respawn and I die in 2 seconds. I'm like, forget it. Yeah, I can't play Overwatch. No. There's no single player campaign. So I have to be battling a stupid computer who is designed to let me kill. You know, if the AI gets too smart, then I don't have fun anyway.
That's it for the game.
I know that they're stupid on purpose. These enemies they're stupid on purpose so I can win. And that's what I like.
Fair play. Nice.
Yeah. And it's pathetic. It's not, I'm not good because I don't spend a lot of time playing. I'm just not good because I don't know. I'm just horrible.
Oh.
So I have no excuse.
All right. So last one. Can't not talk to you about Buffy, I'm afraid. So it was the 20th anniversary this year. What has been your favorite episode? I mean, you've got the Once More With Feeling. I bet that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That has got to be probably my best memory of filming just because the cast was so, in the beginning, we were so terrified, so certain that we would fail, so afraid to try and get out of our comfort zone. And at some point we all decided to try our best in the face of certain doom. We really thought that Joss was flushing the show down the toilet.
Oh,
he was ruining a perfectly good show. We thought we were jumping the shark. We all tried to talk him out of it, and at some point we really got to work and we stopped whining and being fearful, and we just really tried our best, even though we knew we would fail. And that was, for Hollywood actors, I think, as close as you're going to get to heroism. For a little while. And then it didn't suck. And it was just kind of delicious. And so I think we stepped up. I think as a company, we stepped up. That's in a backdrop of doing 22 episodes a year when you're really, really tired and you're asked to just climb an extra mountain like that. I was proud of us.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also I love The Body is another one of my favorite episodes. I think that is an episode where Buffy's mother dies. And that's one where there's no vampires. There's no monsters. There's no laughs. There's no stunts. There's no special effects. You just see a young woman lose her mom. And it is just played as straight drama. And it is proof that those characters are strong enough. They don't need vampires. You can just watch them live in life. I'm not in that episode, but I just thought it was fabulous.
Okay. Yeah, it was quite heartbreaking. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us today. Don't want to keep you too long.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. It's good to talk with you. And I'll get back to my beautiful day, and you can pop your umbrella.
Yes. Thanks so much, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
You got it. I will.
Cheers. Thank you. So in last week's podcast, we launched our DC Big Bundle giveaway, and we've got the winner of the competition to announce. So drum roll, please, Chris. Karolina Kowalski. So that's at Bat Carolines. So we will be DMing you or emailing you to ask for your address to send you your goodies. So thanks everyone for entering. We had a record amount of entries for this competition. So huge thank you. And we have another competition for you to enter if you didn't win this one. So we're going to be launching our next competition, which is a Marvel competition. So we're going to be giving away a Marvel goodie box. So it includes two comics. We've got Daredevil and The Punisher. We've got an Iron Man snapback. Is that what it's called?
Snapback.
I'm sure that's called a hat. You know, the cappy thing.
It's a cap.
Yeah. Sure. We've got a Spider-Man Q-fig. We've got a Daredevil Dorbs, but it's actually Fisk Dorbs, just bearing in mind that. We've got a Hulk beanie. Was it got a Defenders t-shirt and some Thor Ragnarok magnets. So if you head over to our Twitter page, so that's at We Have a Hulk Pod, you will see a video there which has all of the things up for grabs.
Yeah, keep an eye on Twitter.
Yeah, basically. So I think all you have to do is probably retweet and follow us. So simple and easy as.
Yep.
Same as our DC giveaway, it'll probably be a week and we'll announce it in our next episode.
Sounds good.
So good luck.
Good luck, guys.
So thanks so much for listening. Really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to give us any feedback or any reviews, then how do they go about doing that then, Chris?
You can contact us on the Twitters and the Facebooks and the Instagrams / We Have a Hulk Pod. And you can view us on YouTube / We Have a Hulk.
Yes. If you want to visit our website to look at any articles we referenced, then you just go to wehaveahulk.co.uk. And if you would like to, because you're feeling super nice, you can always leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Thank you very much. Thank you. So let us know what you thought of the Infinity War trailer, because I am super hyped about this. And also what you thought about Runaways, because it's also very good. So thanks once again for listening. Hope to see you next time. Bye. Bye.
This has been a production of the GWW Radio Network. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Also, check out Geeks Worldwide at thegww.com for all the latest news, reviews, and opinions on video games, comics, movies, TV, cosplay, and more. Geeks, assemble!